जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनारंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनारंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनारंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनारंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
भागवत महापुराण की शील प्रभुपाद की जय। गीता गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, chapter entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations, Text 4. Pashyanti adaha rupam adabhra chakshusha sahasrapada uru bhujanana अद्भुतं सहस्र मूर्ध श्रवण अक्षी नासिकं सहस्र मौली अंबर कुंडल उल्लसत पश्यन्ततो रूपमदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षिनासिकम् सहस्रमौल्यम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्तदोरूपमदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षिनासिकम् सहस्रमौल्यम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्त्यदोरूपमदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षिनासिकम् सहस्रमौल्याम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्त्यदोरूपमदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षिनासिकम् सहस्रमौल्यम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्तदोरूपमदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षि नासिकम् सहस्रमौल्यम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्तदो रूपम् अदभ्रचक्षुषा सहस्रपादोरुभुजाननाद्भुतम् सहस्रमूर्धश्रवणाक्षि नास्तिकम् सहस्रमौल्यम्बरकुण्डलोल्लसत् पश्यन्ति सी अधः द फॉर्म ऑफ द पुरुष रूपम फॉर्म अदभ्र परफेक्ट चक्षुषा बाय द आईज सहस्रपाद थाउजेंड्स ऑफ लेग्स ऊरु थाइज भुज आनन hands and faces, adbhutam, wonderful, sahasra, thousands of, murdha, heads, shravana, ears, akshi, eyes, nasikam, noses, sahasra, thousands, mauli, garlands, ambara, dresses, kundala, earrings, ullasat, all glowing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Purport. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service. And then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So, it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with a tinge of devotional service. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So, only with patience and perseverance, can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and His different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but He is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 3 Chapter is entitled, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. For somebody who is not so well read in Srimad Bhagavatam, like myself, quite a technical chapter. So, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled devotees here, that I may be able to speak something which makes sense. So, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter, the sages assembled at Naimisharanya, Shaunakadi Rishi, they inquire from Suta Goswami, and they specifically ask 6 questions. We have heard this time and again since the first chapter. They ask 6 questions. And actually, these very 6 questions are the pillars on which the entire Srimad Bhagavatam rests. So among these questions, one of the questions that Shaunakadi Rishi asked, it is regarding the various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apart from His incarnation as Krishna, what are the different forms in which He incarnated and what are the causes of these incarnations? So, the Shaunakadi Rishi, they ask Suta Goswami to please explain the divine pastimes of these incarnations in brief. So responding to this specific question, Suta Goswami is, in this chapter we see, he is just giving a sneak peek. Like, you know, before the entire movie you have the trailer release nowadays, you know, you have trailer release and then the entire movie after 1 or 2 months. So similarly, in this chapter, Suta Goswami is giving like a trailer, a sneak peek into the various incarnations, and he will later expound upon each incarnation in different cantos. So here he is just listing the various incarnations, and in this chapter, it begins like the third chapter, it begins, Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibihi Sambhutam Shodashakalam Adau Lokashishrikshaya. So in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded Himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation and manifested all the ingredients for material creation. And thus at first there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating the material universes. So the Lord, He creates the universe as we see it now. But before, when the universes were not created at that time, they were not manifested as we see them now. At that time, the modes of material nature, they were completely, they were completely in a balanced state. And at that time, Prakriti was in a dormant state. So the Prakriti in such a dormant state is called as Pradhana. And when Prakriti is activated, sorry, please bear with me, this is slightly technical. I know it's quite difficult after breakfast and everything, but still please bear with me. When Prakriti is activated, the three modes of material nature, they become unbalanced. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, sometimes the mode of passion becomes prominent, sometimes the mode of ignorance becomes prominent. Mainly the mode of passion and ignorance are the ones which become prominent. When mode of passion is prominent, then creation expands very rapidly. And when the mode of ignorance becomes prominent, then the universal dissolution, that is pralaya, takes place. And then everything becomes again still and peaceful. So, the third and the fourth cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe extensively about creation and about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan. The Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically, it's mentioned in the second canto about the 10 main subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarga, Visarga, it has been discussed extensively by various speakers till now. But just, I would like to briefly touch upon that. So, Sukadeva Goswami says that in Srimad Bhagavatam there are 10 divisions of regarding the following, the creation of the universe, sub-creation, sarga, visarga and all that. So, of the 10 topics, the first topic which is called as sarga means creation. This creation is directly performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is called sarga. And then, after that, the expansion of that creation which is taking place since Lord Brahma up to the present time, like even all this we see construction of skyscraper buildings and all, people are using the same elements and constructing skyscraper buildings. It all comes under Visarga, sub-creation. Then Sthana is the divine spiritual energy of the Lord by which the entire universal creation is kept under control. This portion is the capacity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to maintain the living entities within this universal creation. And this portion can also be further divided into two. One is general portion. General portion means where irrespective of whether one is a male or a female, a Hindu or a Muslim, a theist or an atheist, portion is there for everyone. The maintenance is there for everyone. Less like everybody is given oxygen right at their nostrils or sunlight for everyone, food grains, fruits, flowers, everything is provided for everyone. This is general portion. But apart from this, there is a special kind of portion which is given by the Lord towards His devotees. Special love and affection. And this is not any indication of any bias on the part of the Lord. Rather, it is very natural and intrinsic to the Lord. Even in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord speaks about this briefly when He says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu. Name dveshyosti na priyaha. So, portion is described in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein we see that the Lord maintains even an abominable and a degraded Brahmana such as Ajamila, who was saved from hellish conditions just by Namahabha's chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And later when he chanted purely, he was elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. Again, we see another aspect of the Lord's portion feature in the sixth canto, where even a devotee of the Lord, like Indra, who was very offensive, he offended his guru, Brihaspati, and later on he appointed another person, Vishwarup, as his guru, and then he killed that guru. So, such an offensive person also the Lord maintains. And somehow, because the Lord is maintaining, because He has rendered some service. So, even if the devotee somehow offends the Lord, the Lord does not mind it. Rather, He overlooks it and sides with the devotee. We may see this as a special attribute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or maybe even a fault in the Lord's characteristics. This is called special kripa for the devotees. the special portion aspect I am trying to talk about here. And even so much so that an offender like Maharaj Chitraketu, who actually did not offend, I mean, it's a very fine, thin line whether he offended or not offended, but still, such a person who was, as a result, who was born as a demon, a Vritrasur, the Lord sided with that demon, Vritrasur, and even liberated him. So this is that special aspect of portion which is reserved only for the devotees of the Lord. Then another aspect is Uti. Uti means karma vasana in general terms. Utaya karma vasana. Devotees entangled in this material world have desire to do a lot of activities. I have to do this, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do this. Everybody has their own checklist, their own to-do lists, you know, on a macro level, on a micro level, on a day-to-day basis, on a, you know, they have planned their entire life. A lot of planning is involved in this. Therefore, even the karmas or the actions are divided into three types. As such, a living entity has infinite desires to perform activities, but these desires are broadly classified into three types. Sad vasana, asat vasana, and mishra vasana. Sad vasana means Krishna conscious activities. Straight. Devotional consciousness, spiritual consciousness. In this consciousness, there is no desire for any material enjoyment or material fulfillment. Only the exclusive desire for the service and satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is sad vasana. Anything other than this, the desire to enjoy or serve anything that is not connected to Krishna, to gratify the senses with the objects of this material world, such desires are called asad vasana. And if there are mixed desires, a little here, you know, a little service to the Lord and then a little there also, then that is mishra vasana. And this specific uti is described very extensively in the 7th canto. 7th canto consists of 15 chapters. Of these, the first 5 chapters describe all the activities of Hiranyakashipu, who was the personification of asad vasana. He was totally immersed in Krishnetar activities. Krishnetar activities means all activities which are nothing to do with Krishna. Wanted to enjoy the objects of this material world. And Narad Muni has given us a complete detailed analysis of asad vasana in these first 5 chapters of seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How asad vasana is very strong and what is the mental state, like even Krishna briefly describes in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaroham, Aham Bhogi, Siddhoham, Balavan, Sukhi, and all those things. And then, in the next 5 chapters, from 6th to 10th chapters, it is described about sad vasana, which is personified by Prahlad Maharaj. And then from the 11th chapter to the 15th chapter, the last 5 chapters, on behalf of all of us conditioned souls, Yudhishthir Maharaj inquires about Mishra Vasana from Narad Muni, which encompasses Grahastha Dharma, Brahmachari Dharma, Vanaprastha Dharma, Sannyas Dharma, Stri Dharma, and so many other things. How people can gradually move from asad vasana to sad vasana. After that comes discussion about manvantara, which is the next aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually, in manvantara, there is a great organized government which exists in order for governance of this whole material, universal creation. And this government, it consists of 6 portfolios. First portfolio, the entire government is governed by Manu Maharaj and a few selected personalities who become Manuputra, you know. So this government is constituted not by election, it is constituted by selection. This is most important. The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally selects. Selection is done by higher powers. Usually what we see also nowadays very brazenly, election is done by people with lower level of mentality. So people from a lower strata, they elect somebody among themselves to represent them. But therefore, there is always a chance of electing the wrong person. You find out later. So, however, selection is done by highly powerful personalities, highly intellectual personalities, and there is no possibility of error in that selection. So, the government personally chosen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead has six portfolios. First, Manu Maharaj. Second, Manuputra, who assists Manu Maharaj. Then third, I mean, it's a post. Manuputra is a post. It's not like only selected personalities can begin. After that, there is Indra. And fourth are Indra's assistant demigods, like the cabinet ministers. So Indra is like the prime minister and the demigods are like the cabinet ministers. And Manu Maharaj is just like a, you know, is just like a president of India, figurehead. All the activities are done by Indra and his assistants. And then the fifth portfolio is the host of rishis, the Sapta rishis, who they take care of maintaining the dharmic principles. All the religious principles are properly maintained. And of course, as Krishna says also, the five factors of action in Bhagavad Gita we read. So, Krishna also has to be present. So, Krishna himself is present as the Manvantara avatar. So, as long as there is no presence of the Lord, there won't be any government. So, therefore, we see there is a detailed description about the Manvantara. And after that, we have Nirodha, Mukti and Ashray. So, the pastimes of the Lord wherein the annihilation of the entire material universe are described. How the Lord winds up the material universes is described. That is called as Nirodha, followed by Mukti and Ashray. How we free ourselves from the entanglement of the material universe. Muktir hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. And then liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable gross and subtle material bodies. And what happens? Jivera swarup hai nitya krishnadas. So achieve this state of jivera swarup hai nitya krishnadas is known as mukti. And then we have ashray. Ashray means the basis of everything that has been described until now, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is described in the ashray tattva described in the 10th canto. So in this entire sequence, the pastimes of the Lord and his various incarnations are described in each one of them. Sarga, Visarga, each one of them, the Lord somehow has a role to play, and all these pastimes are described. So when the Lord descends from his abode to this material world in order to engage in these various pastimes, it is not that the Lord is bound by the universal laws or the modes of material nature. He doesn't get bound by it. He is not bound by it. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very fantastic example, an analogy to explain this. He says, just as there is a prison, and in prison we have so many prisoners, and there is jailer also in the prison. That doesn't mean the jailer is equivalent to the prisoner. Or sometimes even the magistrate or the ministers of the government, on special occasions, they might visit the prison. So that doesn't mean they are criminal, they are criminally implicated, or they have some cases going on, that is why they are in the prison. In today's day and age, we can take that with a pinch of salt. But still, so similarly, the Lord descends to inspect the material universe and to perform various pastimes. So the Lord descends into this material world in six different varieties of avataras. As such, there are infinite number of avataras, but classification, broad classification we can say are six: Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Leela avatar, Shaktyavesh avatar, Yuga avatar and Manvantara avatar. So, Mahaprabhu has explained elaborately about these incarnations in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. And so we come now to the first verse of this chapter, which says about the Purusha avatar. The Lord first expanded Himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation. This comes in the first verse. So, there is a lot of detailed explanation about how the Prakriti is there and the Pradhan is there and then, you know. But just we have to understand, there is no, actually, when the Lord resides in His eternal abode in Golok Vrindavan Dham, and He desires to expand Himself, and just by His desire, the expansion begins to happen. There is no need of some machine or some replicating machine or some assembly line for the expansion to happen. It just begins to happen because the Lord desires. So, when the Lord initially desires to expand Himself, all His infinite energies, we can summarize them into three. We know them: internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy. So, these three energies, they are, a very nice analogy is given about like a cow. A cow, there is blood within the entire body of the, is all pervading within the entire body of the cow. But you cannot take it out. Otherwise, there is no existence of the cow without the blood. And then, you have another energy of the cow, which is the milk. That milk is within the body of the cow also, and it can be, you can also draw it, it can also take it out of the body of the cow. Okay? And then the third energy of the cow is the cow dung and the cow urine, which has no place within the body of the cow. It's always, it's meant to be thrown out. So, very nice analogy is given. So, the blood is compared to the internal energy of the Lord. And this internal energy of the Lord is also again three types: Sandini, Samvit, Ladini, and all those things. So, so just like the Lord, He takes the form of this, you know, there's this whole description about how when the Lord desires to create a material universe, then at the time He expands Himself into His original, He expands His original spiritual form into the first expansion as Sri Balaram. Please bear with me because I am not very good at this technical stuff myself also. It's quite technical. And then from Balaramji, there is the first quadruple expansion of Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And from Sankarsan, in this first quadruple expansion, we have, Sankarsan again expands into a quadruple expansion, and that expansion becomes the form in the form of Vishnu in Vaikuntha. And then that Vishnu, who is known as Mahasankarsan, expands and He becomes the first Purusha, that is Adipurusha, also known as Karanodakshayi Vishnu. And then we have Karanodakshayi Vishnu, and then how the universe expands, and from the Karanodakshayi Vishnu we have the Shirodakshayi Vishnu, from whose navel the lotus sprouts, and Brahmaji is there on the top of the navel, and then Brahmaji is wondering, what am I doing here, how did I land up here, and He is looking all around. Since He is seeing all four directions, He has four faces. So many details are there. So, the first of the Purusha avatars is like the from Karanodakshayi Vishnu, and then from Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Shirodakshayi, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and then Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Like we heard recently that how Shirodakshayi Vishnu is present in every living entity, in every atom, in so also in the space between the atoms. So, it's totally all-pervading. So, this Shirodakshayi Vishnu, He maintains the material, manifest material universes by His presence in every atom. And whenever there is a great trouble faced, this Shirodakshayi Vishnu is not exactly in the Vaikuntha planets. Rather, He is lying in the ocean of milk, which is just above Lord Brahma's planet. And that is like the office of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within this material universe, for the purpose of, you know, redressal, you know, of problems. So, that is when we hear that when the demigods, they go to the shore of the milk ocean to present their problems, you know, like Ravana is creating so many problems, or Mother Earth along with all the demigods, she goes to the shore of the milk ocean along with Brahma to say that how the earth has been burdened with so many demoniac kings. So that is the place where Shirodaksha Vishnu resides in the ocean of milk. So that is like, you know, an abode of the Lord just above Lord Brahma's abode within this material universe. So above, like all the 14 planetary systems are there, and above Brahma's abode there is this Shira Udaka, the ocean of milk, where the Lord resides, and that is like an, you know, office or like an extension counter of a bank you have. So this is Purusha Avatar. So we have three Purusha Avataras. This is Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And after this, for the creation, maintenance and destruction of the manifest universes, the Lord accepts the three modes of material nature and works accordingly. In the form of Brahma, He accepts the mode of passion for the purpose of creation. In the form of Vishnu, He accepts the mode of goodness for the purpose of maintenance. And in the form of Lord Shiva, He accepts the mode of ignorance for the purpose of annihilation. And so therefore these three are known as the Guna Avataras. So you have seen Purusha Avatar, Guna Avatar. Then every Manvantara, which consists of 71 Yuga cycles of Satyuga, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. So for the And during the span of one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manvantaras. Each Manvantara having 71 Yuga cycles, 14 Manvantaras. So the Lord, as we saw in the previous universal Manvantara government, you know, the Lord has to be present as one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead holds one of the portfolios. So therefore, the Lord accompanies every Manu to participate in the universal administration, and that is known as Manvantara Avatar. And for the propagation of Yuga Avatar, Yuga Dharma in every one of the Yugas, the four Yugas, in every Yuga, in the every Manvantara there are 71 Yuga cycles, and like this we have 14 Manvantaras. So every Yuga, every Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar, Kali, there has to be propagation of the Yuga Dharma. So the Lord descends as Yuga Avatar. And sometimes the Lord empowers some specific person, such as a rishi or a king, for the purpose of protection and propagation of religious principles. So such an incarnation is known as Shaktyavasya Avatar, like we have Srila Vyasadeva, who was empowered to put all the Vedic teachings or the knowledge in written form. Or we have Parshuram, who was empowered to annihilate all the wicked Kshatriyas. Also, Narad Muni is a Shaktyavesh, empowered Shaktyavesh avatar, and so are the four Kumaras, and also we know about Maharaj Prithu. And so we have seen Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Manvantara avatar, Yuga avatar, and Shaktyavesh avatar. And what is Leela avatar? Leela avatar is when the Lord descends out of His own sweet will into this material universe, just to enjoy sweet, loving pastimes. It's just enjoyment. Pure enjoyment for the Lord. So just to enjoy sweet, loving pastimes. He may or may not kill some demons. That is just like bonus. Even in that, He enjoys Himself. So this way we have the six types of avataras. So this is how we see in the first, second and third verses. It is built up to this point about the various avataras. And it brings us to today's verse where Pashyantado Rupa Madabhra Chakshusha Sahasra Padur Bhujana Nadbhutam. Actually, we have some kind of this similar description which Arjuna describes in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, when he sees the universal form. all I see thousands of heads and adorned with crowns and this, like that, something similar. And also, you know, when I first read this verse, I was reminded of the first line of the Purusha Sukta. Sahasra Shirisha Purusha, Sahasra Aksha, thousands of eyes, Sahasra Pad, thousands of legs, you know. So this is a recurring thing. The entire creation is the body of the Lord, which was seen by Arjuna personally. But it is not possible for us to see this form of the Lord with ordinary eyes, which even Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. For that we have to wear divine lenses, which were given to Arjuna by Krishna. Again, that is reiterated in the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter, where Krishna says, Divyam dadamite chakshu paschame yogam aishwaram. Krishna says, I give you divine eyes, behold my mystic opulence. So, when we look at the, you know, our senses, material senses are so imperfect, so therefore, we can't even see the material objects within this universe in their correct form. Like when we see the sun at the horizon, it's like a coin, you know, small coin or like a plate. But when we hear from the scientists or read from scientific journals, then we understand what is the magnitude of the sun, what is the size of the sun, what is the real proportion of the sun, then we understand. So, or maybe there are so many hundreds of wires in this room, you know, like kilometers of electric cables are here within this building. But just by looking at that electric cable, we don't know whether actually there is some current passing or not passing. There is a method to determine whether there is current passing or not passing. So how can we understand whether, you know, so many aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So, one time, I was listening to one class by His Holiness Gaurakrishna Das Goswami Maharaj, and he narrated this story. I found it very apt for this particular this. He said that he was going on a preaching tour somewhere in some colleges, and after the lecture, he was sitting in his room with a few other brahmacharis. And one brahmachari came in and told him that there was one student who wanted to meet him personally. So Maharaj said, okay, bring him in. So when this boy came in, so he said, Maharaj, I would like to talk to you alone, without anybody present. So Maharaj said, okay. So the others who were there in the room, they left the room. And then he said, okay, now tell me what is. So Maharaj thought maybe he wants, you know, he has some personal issues or something, youth issues. So maybe he wants to speak something personal. So he asked others to leave. And when they left the room, so then there on the table in front of Maharaj, there was one Bhagavad Gita and one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, just the verses. You know, Gita Press, Gorakhpur, they print that. Only Mula Matram. Only the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, that one book was there, another book was Bhagavad Gita. So this boy picked up both the books and handed them to Maharaj. Maharaj, isko pakdi apne haath mein. So Maharaj said, okay, what happened? So now, holding these books in your hand, I know you cannot say any lies. So now you answer one question of mine. Ye haath mein, ye Gita aur Bhagavat ko haath mein pakad kar aap mere ek sawal ka jawab dijiye. So Maharaj said, this is becoming more dramatic. It's becoming getting too dramatic. So Maharaj said, yeah, go on, I'll answer your question, don't worry. So he said, Maharaj, have you seen God? So Maharaj said, oh, this much? Why you have to ask me to hold all these books? For this, iske liye itna sab natak karne ki kya zarurat hai, Maharaj said. Yes. Maharaj said, yes, I have seen God. So he said, have you seen God just like Tulsidas, Surdas, Bilvamangal Thakur, and so many acharyas they have seen? Have you seen God just like them? So Maharaj said, yes. Means Maharaj was he was so clear. Maharaj said that, have you seen, the boy said, have you seen God just like Jaydev Goswami saw God, or just like Tulsidas saw God, just like Surdas, Bilomangal. Maharaj says, I very distinctly remember he mentioned these specific acharyas. So it was such a like, you know, Maharaj was feeling, why is he so? Maharaj said, yes. Then the boy says, I don't believe you, Maharaj. Why? And then you explain how you have seen God. Maharaj says, have you watched cricket match? Have you ever heard, watched cricket match? Yes. Where? On television. Okay. You know, there is also cricket commentary. Maybe now, for kids nowadays, that is something which is not here. Yeah? But in the 60s and 70s and, you know, till 2000, most of last century, cricket commentary on radio was a very big thing. And people were glued to the radios. Totally glued. And every statement that the commentator was making, the commentator was actually sitting there in the stadium. He was watching the match, and every word that the commentator was speaking, that would relay to you so many things. How the ball was hit, whether it was a cover drive, whether it was a sweep shot, whether it was a pull shot, whether it was a hook shot. Everything was very clearly, and how the ball was bowled, whether it was an in-swinger, out-swinger. You could experience the match even though you were thousands and thousands of miles away from the stadium. Even though it was in a different country, but still you could experience the match. You could actually see the match in front of you just by hearing the commentator's voice, who was directly seeing the match playing out in front of you. Actually, one of the biggest events which was telecast live all over the world on radio. This is even pre-TV times, 1936 Olympics, Berlin Olympics. And that was such a big event, because that was the event which Adolf Hitler wanted to showcase the superiority of Nazi race over all other races. And in that, there was this one black athlete from United States of America, Jesse Owens, who totally destroyed that concept of Nazism, Nazi superiority, the Aryan superiority, by winning 4 gold medals. And what was he doing? He was just running. But people were listening to that commentary of that Berlin Olympics all over the United States of America. Everybody was listening on the radio. Now Jesse Owens is taking his position. Now he is taking stride. How he is overtaking everybody. He won 4 gold medals, even the long jump. Now, at least in cricket, there is something to describe, you know. Something, Esa, short, Mara, and... But just athletic games, track and field event, 100 meters, 200 meters sprint, 100 meters sprint, long jump, 4 by 100 meters race. Even that people were hearing so eagerly all over the world. So, Mara said, exactly... Just as you see the match, just by hearing the commentary, I see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the commentaries or through the words of Jayadev Goswami, through the words of Surdas, Tulsidas, Bilwamangal Thakur, and all the Acharyas right up to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's disciples who have given us. So, then Maharaj asked the boy, did I lie? What do you think? So he said, no. So Maharaj explained to him that the process of revelation is not just through the eyes. You know, there is an inordinate amount of emphasis laid on seeing things. Rather, Maharaj says that there is a lot of knowledge that is actually available not through the eyes but through the ears. And in fact, we have to, as it is said, a Vaishnava sees not through his eyes, but through his ears. So, in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to take shelter of the scriptures and the Acharyas. Only then we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he can have thousands of heads, how he can have thousands of ears, eyes, noses, which are all decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are all adorned with garlands. So the Lord is not directly seen in this manner, but it is the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the vision of the yogis. So, whenever you see the Lord, wherever you see, the Lord has eyes, ears, hands, etc. The Lord not just sees through his, from the front side, he can see from the back side, like we sing during Sringar Darshan everyday morning. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiranjaganti. So just by using one of his senses, the Lord can do everything. Like he can eat with his eyes, he can walk with his eyes, he can speak with his eyes, he can do everything. So one time, again I'll just end with this story. One time, 2 minutes. Sorry. One time, one devotee, he asked His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj during a Bhagavad Katha program in New Delhi. He said, he quoted some verse which is very prominent in the North India Hindi belt. Binu pag chale sune binu kana, kar binu karma kare vidhi nana. This is a description of the Lord, that who he walks without legs. Binu pag chale sune binu kana, he hears without ears. And kara binu, without any hands, karma kare vidhinana. Without hands, he does so many various kinds of activities. So then he challenged Maharaj, that means the Lord is formless, right? He is nirakar. So Maharaj replied, no, actually it means the Lord is not formless, rather it means the Lord is supremely powerful. How? Like for us, we are restricted that if you have to walk, we need legs. But the Lord, He can walk even without legs. So He is supremely powerful. So then this person said, Maharaj, I kuch samajh mein nahi aayi baat. So Maharaj said, it's so simple. I came all the way from Vrindavan to New Delhi without using my legs. I just stepped out of my ashram and there was a car waiting for me. I sat in the car. I did not use my legs at all. All the way from Vrindavan to New Delhi, I did not use my legs. I sat in the car and I got down right at this Katha Pandalya. So if an insignificant living entity which is in this entangled in this material universe, if we can walk without using of our legs, then what is it, you know, what is it matter for the Lord? Why he cannot do that? The Lord is omnipotent. Actually, there's a very nice definition of Nirakar that Maharaj gives. He says, Nirakar means Nitaram Akar iti Nirakar. Nitaram Akar means one who has a definite spiritual form is known as Nirakar. So therefore, in this manner we hear, when we hear the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the lips of the Acharyas, then we understand. Otherwise, all these descriptions about the Purusha Avatar, Guna Avatar, these, that, so many technical, whatever we spoke, that just remains phantasmagoria. It's there actually, but it's very difficult for living conditioned living entities, at least like me, to comprehend. But when we hear from the lips of the Acharyas, from the lips of the devotees of the Lord, then we will be able to understand it at some point of time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please forgive me for going above time.